he made it clear that he had no sense of the absolute value of freedom and rights. There was no value inherent in these ideas. On the contrary, he liked to say Bolsheviks make no fetish of democracy. There was nothing, as it were, magical about it. One shouldn't worship it for its own sake. Rather, for Lenin, political democracy had above all instrumental value. It was a tool to help workers fight better for socialism, give them the freedom to organize, to overturn the system, to create a just social order. In other words, he viewed political democracy as valuable only from a rational, utilitarian point of view, not as Martov did, or as populists did, or as many other Marxists did, from a moral point of view, as a universal value. One expression of this, but also of Lenin's general political personality, was his almost visceral hatred of liberals and liberalism. When he wrote a polemic and used the word liberal or liberalism, this was like a dirty word. It was a condemnation of what you stood for, and he spent a great deal of time attacking liberals and liberalism. More generally, one can see this in his style of argument, which always focused on reason, on the practical benefits of democracy, never on its moral value. Now, related to these ideas about democracy is also another key concept, especially for Marxists as well as populists, the question of consciousness. In other words, how is it that ordinary people are going to somehow be able to recognize what needs to be changed in Russian society? How are they going to come to the idea that it's time to struggle against autocracy and capitalism? This was a great concern for all these radicals. Martov was one of those many Russian socialists who believed strongly in what might be called the consciousness-raising benefits of experience, at least for workers. He was quite confident that everything about workers' lives, their suffering, their hardship, the way they were treated, would eventually lead them to understanding their common class interests and to believe in socialism. Which isn't to say they didn't need organizational help. Why else form a party? And he did believe in the importance of a party. But he still had great confidence that through the process of experience and indeed of struggle, workers would come to the understanding of what needed to be done. And we see this in practice during, for example, moments of real social upheaval, such as the 1905 revolution, which I'll talk about later. Mensheviks actively organized trade unions for workers, supported workers when they wanted to go on strike, helped organize workers' clubs, and they were convinced that doing this would allow workers to experience a struggle that would develop all their mental capacity and understanding of what had to be done. They would learn from the process. This is, by the way, one of the reasons that the Mensheviks in these later years became the most popular faction among Russian Marxists. Lenin had absolutely no such confidence in the natural process of workers learning from experience. On the contrary, he made it clear he was very, very suspicious of what workers would learn from experience, which he called spontaneity, and he didn't like it. As he argued in his most famous book, the real foundation document in many ways of Bolshevism, a fairly long pamphlet that he wrote in 1902, which he called, in honor of Chernyshevsky, What is to be Done? He argued that if you left workers to themselves, they would remain narrow-minded. They would remain ignorant. They would lack consciousness because they would never be able to see past economic issues. They wouldn't understand that their interests lie in overthrowing the entire existing system and creating a socialism. As he put it in his most famous passage, exclusively by its own effort, the working class is able to develop only trade union consciousness. In other words, the conviction it's necessary to combine in unions, fight employers, strive to make government pass necessary labor legislation. Nothing else. In other words, experience would lead workers to liberalism. And for Lenin, nothing could be worse. The implications of all this, of these views, are very considerable. This led Lenin to make the argument, and this was the policy of his party, that workers as a class could not be allowed to run their own movement, ever. Nothing, in fact, more outraged him than arguments by many, many socialists, including Marxists, who, in his totally contemptuous words, gaze with awe at the posterior of the proletariat. Don't stand behind admiring how great they are. Get out in front and lead them where they don't know where to go. Ordinary workers have to be controlled and directed. And the agency of this leadership, Lenin believed, was the vanguard party. It could include workers. It could include peasants. That wasn't the key point. It was not their social origin. It was whether they were full-time committed revolutionaries, well-trained and fully understanding Marxism, and obedient to party discipline. And if they weren't any of the above, you threw them out of the party. In other words, the party was the embodiment of the consciousness that the masses couldn't have through experience alone.